Welcome back, everybody, to Mind as a Collector. We are finally back after some much needed time off for one of us. So it doesn't feel like time off for you guys because I did wait to upload our last episode to last week and we are back at it again. So it doesn't feel like much time off to you guys, but it's been probably, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, potentially three, Joe.
Potentially three.
Yeah, I don't know, two or three, but was getting married, went on the honeymoon, and I'm now back in the saddle. Joe is very accommodating of a late night recording of the pod here, and I, for one, am excited to hear about the National, because while I was gone, I was still consuming National content, and have been into the just still consuming some of the leftover content from the National.
For me, it's just getting started because I like to watch the show vlogs. I will definitely be watching Ryan, Logan, and I think Brent will probably put some out too, Shannon Sports Cards. So those will be my three that I'll watch.
Yeah, I haven't had the time to watch all of the Ryan show vlogs yet, but I historically have watched every single show vlog that he puts out for the National. I have just been on the Pac-Man diet recently. So, you know, I haven't had time for both, but I'm going to get Card Collector 2 is my, him and Pac-Man are my go-tos. I'm going to be excited to see those two.
So I'm ready to get into this. I can't wait another second because I'm just very excited to talk about this. So I went to the National this year with just the intention of seeing old friends that I will not see anywhere else. Like the entire show, I hung out, which I was only there one day.
What day did you go?
Saturday.
Okay.
I was the entire time I hung out with my friend from Connecticut, Crazy for Cards LLC, also known as the world's best Riley Green collector. But the entire show, wall to wall, I was with hanging out with him. We went to dinner and then we had trade night after together. So, and then saw some other people like Cleveland Card Collector, I think 58, Christian. I hadn't seen him in probably over a year and I got to see him at the show. So definitely got to see some people. But when you go into a show with a mindset of not really looking for anything, I feel like you walk out with some pickups every time.
That is a nice stack of pickups I'm looking at right there. Some mags, what appears to be it looks like a slab mag, maybe two. So we appear to have a variety on our hands, and all from one day, Joe.
One day.
Can you entertain me for 1 second? Was it a madhouse to get into the National?
Actually, I was late. Shout out to my wife for getting a speeding ticket. So by the time that we got there, we had no line at all.
Okay, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, and obviously it worked out, you know, with the stack of cards that you saw for the audience. But even with being late, it couldn't have worked out better. We didn't have to stress about the traffic and the line. So
let's see these cards.
So the first one is a little bit of a abbreviation pickup. I already own this card. I was getting it graded.
Okay. So
this is a Dynasty Vertical RPA Riley Green. I got it handed off to Beckett and got a Beckett 9 with a 10 autograph.
Okay.
So I sent that with Alec. He was there all week. He dropped it off early in the week for me. I picked it up when I was there and got that back. So not a 9.5.
How are we feeling?
Not a 9.5, but it's not an 8.5. And with the thick cards like this, I feel like a 9 is a win.
Yeah, I saw corners were 8.5, which is what I probably held it back. But
other than corner, that, I mean, the subgrades are really good.
So we're looking at 9.5, 9.5, 9, and 8.5. So, I mean, what? Is that a half short? Is I always forget, is a 9-5-9-5-9-9, is that a 9 or is that a 9-5? I forget what a
I think that would
min-gem
still
is.
be a 9. I think you need three
Okay,
different
yeah.
fives and a 9.
To be a min-gem.
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Okay.
So that picked that up. And I met Alec at Beckett. Actually, for the very first time, met this awesome human in person. So that was really cool. And we actually ended up doing a deal that yielded the first three pickups of the show. He liked my Nikola Jokic auto as I'm dropping cards.
That was a nice select green autograph or neon green autograph, if I remember correctly.
Yes, sir. So I agreed to trade that to him, and he was actually kind enough to let me look through almost his entire collection. So that was really cool seeing that. He had, I want to say, 7 or 8 Riley Green logo mans. Just
Jeez.
absolute insanity. So I'll start this off with a 5-star
Oh yeah.
on-card autograph, and it's kind of hard to see in the video feed, but that is the foil version numbered to 20. So it's an
It
absolute.
looks that looks truly awesome.
Yeah.
I see some of that foil shining coming through the camera, but the foil shine in person on that has got to be great.
It's
I
immaculate.
am a huge fan of the design of that card. So that's what are we that's 5-star there, rookie year 5-star.
Yep. Rookie year 5-star. And then got the Silver Signatures Riley Green rookie autograph.
So that's also 5-star, but that's like the insert, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if it's the case hit or the insert, but that one's numbered to 40. And you're gonna like this one. I have a feeling you're gonna
Okay.
like this one.
So far, that 5-star out of 20 is my favorite.
So as you know, I do not touch something that's not game used. So keeping that in mind, look at that patch.
Oh yeah. Oh, rookie year definitive game worn patch. Big on that. I love definitive patches.
Numbered to 15.
Definitive is probably my favorite baseball set.
It's so cool.
It
And the boxes are
it's
so
by
expensive,
far.
so.
Yeah, I remember the first year they made definitive. I don't know what year it was, maybe 2018-ish. Or maybe not, maybe a little later. Definitive is such a classy looking set. Rocking those big patches. Lots of dual autos in that set too. But that is a nice patch. Game worn rookie year. That's what it's all about. There can't be a ton of sets with game worn rookie year patches, right? Like,
I don't know. It might be different for Riley because he didn't get his rookie year cards until he had a lot of time in already. So he might have more game worn stuff than other people, but I'm not complaining about it.
it's only those late year, though, super high-end sets that there's the time for it to really work out. I get what you said, though, like you had some time in already. But that's an awesome card. Love the orange and the Tigers patch, too.
And then we started walking the show floor. It took me a while to find anything that I liked. I saw one card that I was interested in, but I decided to take some laps. And the end of the show came around, and still had this card in my mind. I couldn't shake it. And I know usually when that happens, I mean, go get the card if it's still there. So I circled back to Tyler Santiago's table. And he's a big Tigers guy as well. So he was able to look through my box and pick out a few things to make this movable to me. This is a Bowman's Best red PSA 10.
Out of 5.
Actually, it's out of 10.
Oh, 10.
Yep. But it's
Wow.
still only a pop two.
What a card. So rookie Bowman's best out of 10 PSA 10. That is a huge card.
Yeah, that's a sick one for sure. And this Slab Mag is actually courtesy of Crazy for Cards LLC too. When I was looking through his box, he had this empty red Slab Mag sitting in it. And I have been looking for a PSA red for a long time. They always sell out. They are never in stock. And I was like, what are you doing with just a naked Slab Mag in your case? And he's like, I can't stand those. If you want it, you can have it. So now it's on my Riley Green. And it is a perfect color match.
That's awesome. So what did you end up giving up in trade to get that Riley Green there?
I gave up a quad patch with Verlander, Mickey, Vemar, and Kinsler.
Mm-hmm.
A Torque and Miguel Cabrera dual auto.
Mm-hmm. What the heck set was that from?
Topps Chrome Sonic.
Okay.
And then I gave up a couple of smaller Mickey patches, and he actually, the way it lined up was I ended up getting $300 and this green. So,
oh, not bad at all.
Yeah. And then, and a Granderson logo man from the All-Star game. I ended up giving that up too. That one is a
dang.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, that's a really cool pickup, especially if you've been wanting a red for a while.
I hadn't really been wanting one for a while. I try not to get too high on the hopes of owning something, because some of the stuff that I do want is so rare that I know I might not see it. So I try to not get like too over the moon about the idea of it, because then I'll get stuck on it. But the opportunity presented itself, and now it's in my collection.
I've always liked Bowman's Best, so I think that's a really very cool pickup. I mean, it's hard to... PSA 10 is... I feel like I'm going to start to come around to the PSA 10 grade here soon, because I haven't been on the PSA 10 train. I've been on like the really almost no PSA graded cards train, but PSA 10 is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What made me come around to it was I used to work with Clay Cards. I worked there for a couple of shifts, and Clay's always been my guy. Like I never lived further than an hour from his shop.
Wow. So
I can always just drop off to him for PSA, and he'll submit it to me. He's really, really good. And there's just no feeling like getting a PSA 10 back, because I've gotten Beckett.
It is very fun.
Yeah. It's a great feeling. So I've come around to it for sure. And they actually have newer cases now that are a little bit thicker. I felt one at the National. I wasn't aware that this was happening. Like, I picked one up and I'm like, this case feels weird. And like, yeah, they're thicker now. They're starting to make them a different way. So
I've heard that the new cases are very sturdy. I've heard people trying to crack them to like resub those cards. It is extremely difficult now, I've heard.
That's
to
crazy.
Crack.
Because
I've heard very, very hard to crack now.
They used to be so easy too. Like, you would take something sharp on the top corner of the edge and clip that off, and then take like a screwdriver or something on that paper part, lift up, crack.
So, yeah, somehow they've reinforced them now. I saw someone who said it took them like, I could be wrong, but they said it took them like almost an hour to like crack it, and it's never felt safe. Like, these slabs are just getting mangled now to try to crack them. But I've cracked before, and it was exactly like you said, pinch on the top, in with the flathead screwdriver, and you're off to the races.
A mind of the collector submitting a cheap card to PSA to crack the new slab.
Yeah, you got to get that experience before you try with your good cards.
Oh, absolutely.
I trained before I cracked. I mean, the card I cracked was only worth like $80, but I still trained myself. I had a $1 slab, a card that was worth probably $1 or less in a PSA slab, and I practiced on it to get myself ready.
So at dinner, Alec and I were talking, and I'm like, I'm having a really good time at the show. I feel like I'm doing really well. I don't really want to go home yet. And there was a trade, and Alec mentioned, well, you can come to trade night. And several people had asked me during the show if I was going to trade night, and the answer had been no, just because I was only doing the one night and I didn't want to have to try to stay in Cleveland. I wanted to come home. And I had my wife with me, and I didn't want to overdo it, you know, make her tired and stuff. So, but I decided that I was going to do trade night if my wife was willing, and she said that she was good to go for trade night. So we went to trade night, and that yielded more.
Really? I thought that was it. I thought we'd found all that we had. But we can't forget. At this point, you have cash in your pocket too from that deal with Tyler Santiago.
So I get into trade night and I walk around for a little bit and I come up to a table with this Riley Green. This
Ooh,
is
big
a
fan.
Topps Finest Rookies Autograph Orange Wave out of 25, SGC 1010.
Yeah, loving the look of that.
It's kind of
It's
hard to
looking like,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, it looks just like a nice finest insert that they kind of have those bold colors and fonts that kind of harken you back to the 90s.
And another thing too, it's on card.
I was gonna say, look, the window looks like a window for a sticker, but it's not. It is on card.
And I'm like I said before, I'm not a big fan of the wave parallels, but the way the wave works with this background, it's really hard to capture, but it is stunning. So I was super hyped to pick this one up. And I actually moved the orange wave Topps Chrome update autograph to
Oh,
get
did
this
you?
one.
I think that was worth it.
So I moved that one and 40 cash, and I walked away with the 1010. So the on card autograph. To me, that's all day.
I would do that all day too. I really like that move. I think in terms of the orange wave effect and like the orange shimmer, depending on how you feel. I feel like those for me give me a much greater pause if I'm buying a Topps Chrome parallel or like a Bowman Chrome parallel. With those, I'm like, ugh, non-true parallel, like wave or, you know, all that. I don't know. But when you kind of get yourself further off the beaten path and you're just buying cards because they look awesome. In those situations, I'm a little more open to the orange wave type cards. Like if it just looks absolutely cool, yeah, I think I'm totally down because we're already not buying a lineage-based product, right? You're not buying that insert auto for its lineage. You're buying because it's cool. I think that I kind of bend the rules there a little too.
So speaking of bending rules and non-normal parallels, Topps Chrome True Purple Speckle on-card autograph Riley Green PSA 10. This is out of 299.
390. Oh, 299. Okay.
Yep. That was the last pickup of trade night. I bought this one, then decided to go home.
You had quite a good haul. I'm impressed you found so much Riley Green.
Yeah, especially since, you know, I wasn't going in like I'm gonna buy up all the Riley Green I can see. So that it really surprised me, to be honest. And I completely
That's
pulled
true,
through
because you
PC.
weren't going like scorched earth to find Riley Green. You just kind of were interested in buying if the chance presented itself. That is a pretty successful national.
I would agree. Especially only for one day. I can't imagine if I would have been there for more than that.
That's the thing I feel like if I went there, I've never made it to the national. Yeah, this one was kind of a close one. Was out of town, so it didn't work out. But I think I want to go to Chicago someday, but I feel like, yeah, it might be hard to control the spending, like if you stayed for multiple days, because Or you would have to save so much for it to have some money in the back pocket. Or just have some cards that you're willing to part with, you know?
Both. You can never be overprepared in my national experience.
Yeah.
I went from the national being the first card show that I ever went to being now having a vast idea and being over my head in cards. So I know the national from both sides of it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm happy for you. That sounds like a good national for you. I always like to hear the stories of the successful pickups that people make. Always, I don't know, makes me happy to see.
Yeah, it gives you hope with so many people saying negative things all the time, no matter what. Like they'll
Yeah,
go
there's a lot of
and spend
negativity.
$7,000 and they'll come out and they'll be negative about it. It doesn't make any sense.
I agree. It's just fun to see people just buying cards that they like, players that they like. Doesn't have to be the fanciest cards in the world, but they're pretty darn cool, pretty darn rare, and they fit your PC perfectly. Like, that is awesome. Just because Riley Green isn't Shohei Ohtani doesn't mean that it's not great to collect and super fun to collect a guy on your team.
They do have one thing in common, though. They're hurt. They are both hurt almost every year.
Well, maybe the home run swing will be inherited too.
Well,
Maybe he'll learn to throw a
he's
fastball
doing
100 miles an
really
hour.
well. He had almost 20 by the All-Star break, but I don't know if he'll
Jeez.
be back. I don't know if he'll be back this season, so.
Almost 20 by the All-Star break is pretty good.
Yeah, I think he had 17 or 18.
It's a solid year. It's a 30 home run pace. Dang, that hurts to lose.
And Shohei is already at 32, by the way. That's crazy.
Yeah, crushing absolute bombs.
Imagine trying to tell Judge that a pitcher is keeping pace with you in a home run race.
That's terrifying that that's how good he is. I remember it's tough to live up to the hype of the hobby and how much big players get hype. He is one of the only people, I think, of the last like 2018 to now era that's lived up to the hype they've been given. Like the people that got super hype, I think he's the only one.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, he's been everything and more.
Because
It's insane.
guys like Mahomes and Skeens, they weren't really hyped until they showed
No.
up. So.
Yes. They weren't like the Zion Williamson or like the Shohei Ohtani or the, you know, I'm trying to think about players in other sports, but just remarkable stuff. I want to rip a pack. I want to rip some packs of Topps Chrome Baseball, Joe. I've been getting the itch. I want some packs.
Well, fun fact about Riley Green, right? So, like I said, my friend Alec is a huge Riley Green collector, and we're talking about, I don't want to get too far into this and overplay my hand of what I'm looking for currently, but Alec and I were talking about Riley Green, and we're like, we both kind of agreed that we haven't really seen a lot of his Topps Chrome autos, especially the lower numbered ones. So, that has me thinking about ripping some 23 chrome.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. They gotta be somewhere, right?
Yeah. I feel like every now and again, I feel like Chrome is just a fun rip too.
Yep.
Always, it's always just enjoyable. I haven't opened any baseball product this year, but Chrome's really calling my name.
So speaking of fun, you had a very fun mail day that I'm sure you want to talk about.
I did not expect to have, well, I guess I did expect, but I didn't know if I was going to win this card. Made a sale to kind of get some funds together to make this purchase. Was able to snag a new relic card. So currently my PC, I don't have any stick pieces right now, but I have jerseys, patches. and I have a skate blade of one player, but now we have leveled up. We have this game used net court. It's very dark in here. I don't have a nice overhead light. It's hard. It's kind of gross looking. I promise you it looks better in person, but a nice game used net piece from Stanley Cup Finals. This card's of Sidney Crosby. So it's game used net, Stanley Cup Finals, the second Stanley Cup that Crosby won, 2016. Awesome stuff.
That's nuts.
He is pictured in the picture on the card is him with the it's hard to see, but the jersey has the Stanley Cup final crest on it. So it's a photo from the finals, a game used net piece from the finals. Awesome stuff.
That is like the equivalent to a LeBron James net game used finals. That is sick.
Yeah. From a one that you won too. So yeah, it's basically like that. And like, yeah, you probably change the net every night, but like, it's basically that. I'm surprised they haven't made these in baseball or in basketball, because it seems like it wouldn't be that expensive of memorabilia to obtain compared to other stuff. And it's just a fun way to get closer to meaningful games.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it seems like a slam dunk. Like, you could produce a lot of them,
right?
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
So I imagine like how expensive those opulence booklets were, with like they would have to buy the whole jersey, right? But like with the finals logo man on it, like
those were incredible cards.
Yes, they are.
Those are some of the best cards Panini's ever produced.
But like you said, that has to be way more expensive than the net, right?
Yeah. I think there still is a lot of demand for the net. I mean, this card costs what a low-end Crosby auto costs.
Done deal.
So they sell for they sell for a decent amount, but it's not like an insane, insane amount. So it's like a low end auto or this.
Yeah. I mean, I would trade a low end auto for that every single day.
And, yeah.
Where it's
scarce.
Used, it's special material and it's just meaningful.
Yeah. They're numbered out of 25. So there's 25 of this year. And then there's 25 also of the other year, I think, in the 2017. There's also other players on like the Penguins who are pictured with similar memorabilia pieces, which is also cool. But nowadays they've kind of watered this set down using a lot of all-star nets. Not really that exciting. Skills competition, Winter Classic. None of those do it for me. Stanley Cup Finals, now that stands in a league of its own.
Agreed.
So I just want to get back a Crosby game use stick piece, and then I think I will have restored the piece of a wonderful variety of memorabilia in the Crosby PC and my PC in general.
We are officially running low on time. We have 10 minutes of recording time left. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover?
No, not unless you wanted to move to just kind of the preview of things to come.
Yeah, why don't we pivot to that? So Robbie and I had an idea of doing what ideally would be a three-part series, covering how people store cards and why they store cards specific ways, with basically breaking down how I store my cards specifically and Robbie stores his cards specifically. With part one being the binder, part two being the two row, and part three being a display case or Zion case.
I am very excited for this.
I am as well. That one, unlike this one, will have notes.
I am thrilled to talk about some of that. I think that everyone does it their own way. I'm very interested to hear the way you do it. I also have some other alternate storage methods which aren't fully covered by there. That doesn't cover the piles on the work desk of cards. The piles. I think most people would say the piles are also certainly at play, but I'm very excited to talk about that because there's a little bit of a blending between some of those methods. You know, the binder can commingle a little with the two row. You know, sometimes the two row has cards that look like binder cards, but that you don't put them in the binder. So, you know, there's a lot to get
Yeah.
into there. I found myself doing that.
Yep. I went through not too long ago, a couple less than a week ago, I went through both of my binders and pulled out a big stack of cards, probably like that big, and put them in the two row.
Yeah.
My wife will tell you because I sat at the kitchen table and meticulously did it.
Yeah. Hey, that's what it's all about. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the next episode. But organization is such a core part of the hobby experience. It's a fun way to engage with your cards. And I think it, I don't know, it's just crucial to the hobby. It takes us all back to when we were first ripping cards and first learning how to store them, whether it was stacking them up by teams and putting them in a box or putting them in a binder, your first binder. So I'm very interested to get into it.
I cannot wait for the very deep conversations that we will have about
I'm
that.
getting pretty excited already.
That is the reason that I started this, is I want to have deep, meaningful conversations about cards, regardless of how many people listen. So I think that'll about do it for this week. Robbie's going to wrap us up here, the newly married man. Make sure you send him your congratulations.
All right. Yep. Thank you, everybody. This was The Mind of the Collector. We hope you enjoyed. Get ready for some, you know, this three-part series we have coming in the future. Stay tuned. Tell a friend, share the news of the pod, and we'll keep delivering good content for you all. And we will see you back here next week.